in recording the conversation between Yaakov and Esav at the beginning of Parshas Toldos, the Torah records that Esav responded to Yaakov as follows: "Vayomer Esav al Yaakov, Haliteni na min ha'adom ha'adom hazeh, ki ayef anochi, al kein kara shemo Edom." Esav said to Yaakov to serve him from this Adom, which is interpreted as some type of lentil soup. Ki ayef anochi, because he was tired. And now, Kein Kara Shemo Edom, based on that, Min Ha'adom Ha'adom Hazeh, Esav is known as Edom. So Rashi on that pasuk explains that on that very day, Avraham Avinu died, and therefore Yaakov was cooking a Sudas Havra'ah. He was cooking a meal in order to give to Yitzchak, who was an Avel, as the son of Avraham who died that day. And Yaakov made lentils in particular, because of the roundness of lentils, and roundness symbolizes the cycle of life, and they also have no mouth, which symbolizes the fact that a mourner is instructed to remain silent. And that's also why we have the practice of cooking, of having hard-boiled eggs as part of the Sudas Havra as well, because of their roundness and because of the fact that they have no opening, they have no mouth, again, which both symbolize the circle of life and the fact that a mourner is supposed to remain silent. So interestingly, from this Rashi emerges the phenomenon of what's called the Sudas Havra'ah, the first Suda that an Avel has on the first day of his Avelos. The Gemara in Moed Katan Adav Chav Zayin Amid Beis cites Rav Yehuda Amar Rav, who says that on the first day of one's Avelos, it's prohibited for an Avel to eat his own bread. And we derive this from a pasuk in Sefer Yechezkel, where Hashem says to Yechezkel, V'lechem an Hashem lo sochel. Hashem tells Yechezkel not to eat other people's bread. And we derive the inverse generally for Avelim, that if Yechezkel is supposed to refrain from eating other people's bread, then generally Avelim are supposed to eat other people's bread. So that's the source for the Sudas Havra. And the Shulchan Aruch in Yoredeya Siman Shin Ayin Ches Sif Aleph records the halacha that an Avel is prohibited from eating his own food during the first Suda of his Avelus. And the Shulchan Aruch adds that it's a mitzvah for other people to offer food to the Avel so that the Avel does not eventually come to eat his own food. We're going to focus today on this idea of the Sudas Havra. And we're going to focus hopefully on three questions. And the first is what the nature and the basis for the obligation of Sudas Havra really is. How should we describe the obligation of Sudas Havra, and what is the purpose of the Sudas Havra? Secondly, what exactly is the relationship between the two points that we just mentioned in the Shulchan Aruch, which are the prohibition for the Avel to eat his own food and the mitzvah for other people to give food to the Avel? There's a prohibition that pertains to the Avel, and there is an obligation that pertains to other people, to those who accompany the Avel. So what is the relationship between that prohibition for the Avel and the obligation for the others around the Avel to give food to the Avel? And finally, what food is included in the obligation of the Sudas Havra? We noted at the very beginning that Rashi says that Yaakov was cooking a Sudas Havra, and as part of that Suda, he made lentils. So is it the case that all food is included in this in the prohibition for the Avel to eat his own food prior to the first Suda? Or are we going to limit it maybe just to bread? When the Gemara in Moed Katan on Chav Zayin Amid Beis cites the position of Rabbi Yehuda Amar Rav that there's supposed to be a Sudas Havra for the Avel, so the pasuk that we derive that from is specifically V'lechem an Hashem lo sochel, that the bread of other people, the Yechezkel was not supposed to eat. So do we limit this din of Sudas Havra to lechem, to bread, or do we extend it to other foods, as what is suggested by the Medrash that Rashi cites the fact that Yaakov was cooking lentils? So let's begin with the essential parts of the din of Sudas Havra, and that is the nature and the basis for this principle for Sudas Havra. So if we try to analyze the nature of the Sudas Havra, we can really try to divide that into two categories or into two basic approaches. The first one is that the nature of the Sudas Havra is an obligation for others to provide food to the Avel. We could describe it as part of the more general category of Tanchumei Avelim, that other people are supposed to comfort the Avelim, and as part of comfort, of providing comfort for the Avelim, not only do they sit down and accompany the Avelim with their presence, but they also provide food for the Avelim. So this approach, that the nature of the Sudas Havra'ah is an obligation for others to provide for the Avel, is taken by some of the Rishonim, and it's described in different ways. Probably foremost of the Rishonim that take this approach is the Rush, and it's cited in Rabbeinu Yerucham. So Rabbeinu Yerucham explains that according to the Rush, the idea of the Sudas Havra'ah is that because an Avel is deeply perturbed and saddened by the death of his relative, so he might not have any desire to eat. So therefore comes the Torah and commands that the Avel is supposed to eat other people's food. And the Levush basically explains that what this means is that others are obligated to provide for the Avel because we're concerned that if we leave it up to the Avel, then the Avel will refrain from eating due to his sadness. So since we have a concern that due to the Avel's emotional state, he's going to refrain from eating, therefore we obligate others to provide food for the Avel. And again, that could be seen as a type of comforting the Avel, as a type of Tanchumei Avelim. The Levush himself actually explains very similarly, but albeit a little bit differently. And he explains that others are obligated to provide food for the Avel to illustrate their care for him. So again, clearly, according to the Levush, the Sudas Havra'ah is a subcategory of Nichum Avelim. So according to both the Rush, as explained by the Levush, and according to the Levush himself, The nature of the Sudas Havra is an obligation for others to provide food for the Avel, whether that's because we want to ensure that the Avel has what to eat, because we're concerned that if we leave it up to him, he's going to refrain from eating due to his sadness, or whether it's just supposed to be a demonstration of our care and concern for the Avel during his time of mourning. We do find some evidence in Shas for the idea that the obligation of the Sudas Havra'ah, that the nature of the Sudas Havra'ah is an obligation for others to provide food, and that it's really like a subcategory of Tanchumei Avelim. And that's the Gemara in Bava Basra on Daf Tezayin Amid Beis, where the Gemara describes that the purpose of Yaakov Avinu's cooking a Sudas Havra'ah, as what's recorded in this week's Parsha in the Medrash, was Lenachem es Yitzchak Aviv. The Gemara uses the term Lenachem. And that being the case, it seems like the Gemara is taking the stance that the obligation of Sudas Havra'ah is a subcategory, it's a form of Tanchumei Avelim, and the obligation really pertains to others to provide for the Avel. So up until now, we've seen one approach, and that is that the nature of Sudas Havra'ah is for others to provide food for the Avel. But according to others, the nature of the Sudas Havra'ah is really very different. There's a different starting point. And according to this second approach, the nature of the Sudas Havra'ah is really rooted in the prohibition for the Avel to eat. So instead of describing the Sudas Havra'ah as part of the category of Tanchumei Avelim, providing comfort for the Avelim, really we should describe it as part of the category of Nihugei Avelos. That there are certain things that an Avel must do and there are certain things that an Avel must refrain from. And one of the things that an Avel must refrain from is consuming his own food on the first day of Avelos. And therefore, because it's prohibited for an Avel to eat his own food, so as such, other people become obligated to provide food for the Avel. This is the simple interpretation of the language of the Torah and the Shulchan Aruch. The Shulchan Aruch says that an Avel is prohibited to eat his own food on the first day of Avelos, until, or at least before his first Suda, before his first meal, and therefore other people are obligated to provide for the Avel. So, and Rav Moshe Feinstein in his Tshuva and Yoredeya Chelek Beis, Simen Kuf Samiches, really spells this out. And he explains that according to this approach, The starting point is that the prohibition causes the obligation. Really, there's a prohibition for the Avel to eat, and then the obligation for others to provide food for the Avel is only as a consequence of the prohibition for the Avel to eat. Now, why would there be a prohibition for the Avel to eat his own food prior to his first Suda? So we find different explanations in the Achronim. The Sefer Shevet Yehuda is quoted in many contemporary Sfarim, including the Divrei Sofrim and the Bar HaShulchan, and the Shevet Yehuda suggests two different reasons as to why the Avel would be prohibited from eating his own food. The first one is due to the concept of Kavod Hames, that on the first day of Avelos, the Avel should refrain from eating from enjoying his own food as a demonstration of Kavod Hames, that when Rachmana Litzlan, the Mace, has just passed away, so the first thing that should be on the Avel's mind is not his own food. So therefore, the Avel should be refraining from eating his own food, and therefore other people would have to provide food for him. The Shevet Yehuda suggests another fascinating reason. I'm not sure exactly where this comes from. Unfortunately, I didn't have a chance to look up the Shevet Yehuda inside. I only saw it quoted in other Sfarim. But the Shevet Yehuda explains that at least on the first day of the Avelos, the Avel's food has a certain kind of supernatural ruach ra'ah that is shore on it. So because the Avel's food is subject to this ruach ra'ah, therefore he should refrain from eating that food, and therefore he needs to eat the food that other people provide for him. So far, what have we seen? We've really seen two basic approaches as to the nature of the Suda Savra. The first one is that it's really part of the category of Tanchumei Avelim. There is a mitzvah for other people to provide food for the Avel. And the Rav Moshe Feinstein points out that because there's a mitzvah for other people to provide food for the Avel, so that's what causes the prohibition for the Avel to eat his own food. Because other people need to provide the food, therefore we instruct the Avel not to eat his own food. That's one way of looking at Suda Savra. The second way of looking at the Suda Savra is to flip it entirely. And really the starting point is to say that this is part of Nihuge Avelos, that there's a prohibition for the Avel to eat his own food. And as a consequence of that prohibition, there is a mitzvah for other people to provide food for the Avel. So if we ask about the relationship between the obligation for other people to provide food and the prohibition for the Avel to eat his own food, there are basically two different ways of viewing the relationship. The first way, according to the first approach, is that the obligation causes the prohibition. The obligation for others to provide food causes the prohibition for the Avel to eat his own food. The second way to view it is the opposite, that the prohibition causes the obligation. The prohibition for the Avel to eat his own food causes the obligation for others to provide food for him. So that concludes our analysis of the nature and the basis of the Suda Savra and the relationship between the prohibition for the Avel to partake of his own food and the mitzvah for others to give other food to the Avel. What practical consequences stem from all of this analysis? So the truth is that there are a few significant nafkamina to these questions. Let's take, for example, an Avel who unfortunately lives alone in a city, or he just happens to be someone who's not sent food by anybody else. So in that case, is the Avel allowed to eat his own food? He lives alone. He's not going to be getting food from others who live around him. So may he eat his own food? So the Taz in Yoredei Shenayim Ches explains that in this case, the Avel would be allowed to eat his own food. But the Shevet Yehuda, again quoted in contemporary Sfarim, explains that in this case, the Avel would still not be allowed to eat his own food. So what's the Nekudas HaMachlokas between the Achronim, between the Taz and the Shevet Yehuda, whether the Avel is allowed to eat his own food in this case, where he is not being provided for? So seemingly, this Machlokas really returns to the nature and the basis of the obligation of the Suda Savra. According to the Taz, the idea of Suda Savra is a mitzvah for others to provide food for the Avel. But if the others are not going to be providing food for the Avel, because the Avel lives alone, for example, so then in that case, there would be no prohibition for the Avel to eat his own food. After all, the starting point is the mitzvah for the others to provide the food. So in this case, that starting point never gets started, it's never launched. So in that case, there would be no prohibition for the Avel to eat his own food. And that's the way that the Taz has it. But according to the Shevet Yehuda, the starting point is different. The starting point is the prohibition for the Avel to eat his own food. So even if the Avel is not going to be provided food because he lives alone, so nonetheless, that Isser would not fall away. Because again, the starting point is the Isser. And therefore, the Isser would stay intact even if others were not going to be providing food for the Avel. So that would be one consequence. Whether in the case in which an Avel lives alone in a city and is not being provided for. Another interesting case that I saw quoted was let up until now we've said that an avel is not allowed to eat his own food. Can others eat food that belongs to an avel? Right? Can others partake of the food that really belongs to the avel? So according to most poskim, this question doesn't get started. According to most poskim, of course, others are allowed to eat the food of an avel. The whole idea is that there's a mitzvah for others to provide food for the avel, but there's nothing wrong with the food of the avel itself. So of course, other people are allowed to eat that food. It's only the avel who's not allowed to eat the food because other people are supposed to be providing food for him instead. But the Shevet Yehuda, again, is consistent with his analysis. So the Shevet Yehuda says, or at least according to Shevet Yehuda's reasoning, others should be prohibited from eating the food of the avel as well. Why should that be the case? Because if the reasoning for the prohibition for the avel to eat his own food is the that supernatural type of idea that there's a ruach ra'ah that rests on the food, so not only is that food unfit for the avel himself, but it's going to be unfit for everyone. And therefore, others should refrain from eating the avel's food as well. Then I think, according to most poskim, this question doesn't even get started. Of course, others would be allowed to eat the food of the avel. So now let's get to a more basic question, which also I think revolves around the analysis that we presented before. Until when is the concept of Sudas Havra'ah applicable? So this was a machlokas between the Rishonim. According to the Rosh and the way that the Shulchan Aruch paskins, Sudas Havra'ah really pertains only to the first Suda, which means that an avel is prohibited from eating his own food until he eats the first meal that is provided for him. But according to the Bali Atosos and other Rishonim, the avel would be prohibited from eating his own food not only up until the first Suda, but throughout the entire first day of Avelos. So what is the Nekudas HaMachlokas between these Rishonim, whether Sudas Havra'ah lasts only until the first Suda or even throughout the entire first day of Avelos? So the Levosh explains that if the Mechayiv, if the basis and nature of the Sudas Havra'ah is for others to provide food, it's part of the category of Tanchumei Avelim, so then it would apply only to the very first Suda, which the Levosh explains is the Iker Zeman Mirirus. The bitterness that an avel experiences is at its most before the first suda that he enjoys, that he consumes, and therefore, says Levush, the idea of providing food for the avel would go only up until the suda rishona. So why would we say, according to how could we explain the position of Tosfos that suda savra would last throughout the entire day? So the Sefer Divrei Sofim explains that if the nature and the basis for Sudas Havra'ah is not part of the category of Tanchumei Avelim, but rather part of Nihugei Avelus, and the starting point is the prohibition for the Avel to eat his own food, so then that could last throughout the entire first day. That wouldn't necessarily be limited to the first Suda. Additionally, there's another point, up until now, we've explained that the Sudas Havra'ah is really applicable to the very first day of Avelos, whether that's the first Suda or the entire day, but it's certainly limited only to that first day. But is there a concept, is there a kiyum, is there some fulfillment of a mitzvah to provide food for Avelim throughout all Shivas Yemei Avelos, not only on the first day, but throughout the rest of the Avelos as well? So in Ingros Moshe, Rav Moshe Feinstein, in, again, Chelek Beis, Kufsa, Meches, and Yeradei explains that according to those Rishonim and Achronim who view Sudas Havra'ah as part of Tanchumei Avelim, so although the Chiyuv would only apply on the very first day, there would still be a concept, there would be a mitzvah to provide food for the Avel throughout Zaynimei Avelos, throughout the entire Shiva, because that of Tanchumei Avelim could be fulfilled not only on the first day but throughout all 7 days of Avelos. But according to the Shevet Yehuda's analysis, that the starting point here is the prohibition for the Avel to eat his own food, and it's only because the Avel is prohibited to eat his own food that others are commanded to provide food for him. So that would be relevant only to the first day of Avelos, which is V'acharisa ki yomar. The first day of Avelos is the most bitter of all days of Avelos, and therefore it's only on that day that the Avel would be prohibited from eating his own food. But that prohibition would certainly not extend past the first day, and since the prohibition doesn't extend past the first day, so then it would be very unlikely that there would be a mitzvah for others to provide food for the avel after
after the first day. What about the scope of foods that are included in the mitzvah of Sudas Havyah? So we mentioned at the very beginning that this kind of revolves around the story of Yaakov Avinu, that Yaakov cooked a meal that included lentils. So is it limited just to bread, or does it include all foods? So the Aruch HaShulchan was of the opinion that it's limited to bread. The Avel is prohibited only from eating bread, and that's what needs to be provided for him. But the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch and other poskim extend this idea past bread and include all foods. And again, with Rabino Bechaya, actually, for example, brings some evidence from the story of Yaakov Avinu that it includes all food. So what would be the nekudas hamachlokas here? So if we think that the mechayiv is to have a suda, then it would be understandable that we would limit it to lechem, because lechem, bread, is really kind of the ikar hasuda. But if we extend it to all foods, so then it could be that the mechayiv is the prohibition for the avel to eat his own food, and therefore it would be understandable that this would apply to all food. Just to end on one note, the two sides that we've developed of the Sudas Havra, namely the obligation for the avel as well as the obligation for the menachamim, the obligation for the avel to refrain from eating his own food, as well as the obligation for others to provide food for the avel. So both of these two sides reflect some fundamental perspectives on our approach to avelus in general. And what they show is that the Torah recognizes the emotional state of the avel, and therefore establishes certain guidelines to ensure that his state does not reach unhealthy extremes. And that's the obligation for the avel to eat from other people's food, to provide food for the avel. But moreover, the Torah also obligates others to empathize with the avel, not only by identifying with his loss, but also by recognizing his needs, by realizing that at the time of his avelus, and especially on the first day, the first thing that's on the avel's mind is not his food, and therefore we have to go out of our way as the menachamim to provide food for the avel. Wish everyone a great rest of the week and a good show.